On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. All right, everybody, I'm here with Alex Puskarich of the Cincinnati Reds organization. Alex, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time. Tell the listeners about yourself, if you would, please.
Well, Chris, thank you for having me. I am in my second season with the Cincinnati Reds organization. I was in rookie ball Billings, Montana last year, and I'll be heading to High A Daytona this year. And I currently make Phoenix my off-season home as well, so I'm helping with rehab players and other athletes that just show up to work out early prior to the season. So that's my time right now until spring training starts.
So this episode will give kind of an interesting perspective. You just spent your first year in pro ball. I think it'll be good for some of our listeners who might be interested in getting in. So let's start with maybe your expectations versus the reality of your first year in pro ball. What were you expecting and what did you end up seeing? Were they similar? Were they different? Let's start with that.
So I've talked to a bunch of people prior to applying for baseball jobs. And one of my references has been in baseball for a very long time. And I kind of picked his brain a little bit. And he said, just expect working long hours, lots of travel, and some terrible food, especially in the minor leagues. And I said, okay, I can deal with that. So when I got hired, the reality comes of it. Yes, extremely long hours, a lot of travel. Once I got to Billings, I think our shortest bus ride is 3.5 hours and our longest is like 16. So it makes for a rough few days at times. And then the food wasn't as bad as I have heard, but the Reds have done a wonderful job at taking nutrition into account for our players in the minor league system. So catered meals and the such like that to really help with, you know, performance and recovery. So it wasn't as terrible as I thought.
Yeah, I had heard a lot of similar things from some of my mentors. And then when I got to Bristol, the food was tough just because there wasn't a lot of options around. But now in Double A in Portland, it's the food is kind of becoming a priority in baseball and nutrition. And back in the old days of what I've heard compared to now is just totally different. Like we've had steak and lobster at the affiliates versus, you know, white bread and some cheese and turkey thrown on it. So it's
absolutely
it's good to hear that you guys are improving nutrition as well. I think as a whole, if nutrition improves in the game, it's going to be good for everybody.
Yes, agreed.
Okay, so kind of along those lines, prior to getting into baseball, you have a lot of experience in the private sector. Can you tell me kind of how that differed from what you did in pro ball and maybe what you learned from your experience there to help you succeed in pro ball?
Well, in the private sector, it's a lot of it is mostly off-season training, so you really get to get after it with guys and depending on the people you're working with, you get to kind of you see multiple different ability levels. From you know my private sector experience at a baseball academy, having 12-year-olds to kids in college and even a couple pro guys, you get to see a whole gamut of training abilities, training ages, and then just experience levels with training. So having to learn how to communicate with all different types of people and understand how they learn really, really helped me in pro ball because, last year I think we have 35 guys in our roster, so I had 35 completely different personalities, and then a majority of them, English is their second language. So me not speaking a ton of Spanish, enough to get by, but definitely can improve. I had to use other tactics to train guys and get guys to do what we wanted them to do. And I think that the private sector really taught me the communication aspect of how to get my point across, but not to be very demanding. Demanding is probably a bad word, but to be very forceful, just kind of say, hey, this is what we want to do. Let them try to do it and then explain from there. But communication is the biggest thing that, and I've learned through my past careers before I got into strength and conditioning, that communication is the lifeblood of anything. If you can talk to anybody, you can train anybody.
Yeah. I've heard, like first year guys who don't really know Spanish, the, Spanglish and charades is the way it was described to me of how they effectively got across to some of the Latin players. So it sounded like you had some Spanglish yes. and charades in your days at Billings.
Yeah, I wish when my mom made me take Spanish in high school and college when I first started, I wish I would have actually paid attention. 6 years, I guess, of Spanish, and I should have learned it, but I think it was just I need the credits back then. So.
Yeah, like we talk about off camera, my wife is fluent in Spanish and she's trying to get me to speak it. And when I was in high school, I took French. And so I told her, I was like, man, if I took Spanish in high school, we'd be rolling right now. But someday I'll teach you French. And she's like, okay, I'll teach you Spanish. But looking back on it, yeah, I definitely wish I would have taken foreign language a little more seriously back in the day. But there was nobody to teach me that.
Yes, yes.
But then again, we probably didn't know we were going to be in these situations either where we'd actually need it. So,
definitely not. Definitely not.
It's a funny ride how it all works. So what do you believe in within strength and conditioning that others think you are crazy for believing? I'm sure you've seen a lot of stuff in the private setting and now in the pro setting. What do you believe in that others think you're crazy for believing?
It's funny. I talked to Morgan, who you had on a few weeks ago, about an article I'm going to write for the website. And he said the kind of the same thing in his podcast. And it was that we can work harder. Athletes can work harder in season than they do. It may not seem, to someone who hasn't been in a full, with a baseball player during the season. I mean, we'll work out twice a week, and then they'll do activation stuff. But, I feel, and in my background and, having been in the military and doing some other things, that we can work out harder and still maintain our performance, which will help, through the long season, keeping guys stronger, most likely healthier. And as long as obviously we build up to it and they're conditioned for that. I'm not talking about going out and deadlift max, 20 minutes before a game, but mornings or, early afternoons before a game. And if they're conditioned for it, we can get after it a little bit harder than we do. A lot of people in baseball, especially the people who've been around for a while, probably wouldn't agree with that. And there probably would be pushback if that was implemented in the near future. But I think as more research and stuff comes out about performance and how lifting heavy and stimulus and all that improves performance or maintains performance, I think that maybe we get to that point. But, I think that if I came in and I tried to do that, it may not be too good.
Yeah, right on. That's definitely like a reoccurring theme with this question is players can work a little harder or, still lift heavy weight in season. And that hasn't always been the thought. So it's interesting to see where the future will go with that thought process. So what do you believe makes a strength and conditioning coach, quote unquote, successful, either in your position in pro ball or at a private setting or just either way in the big picture?
I think that you can't really... and for me, obviously success is a very broad term. It means so much. It means something different to me than you and than anybody else listening possibly. But, for me in pro ball, success is when a guy gets the call up, from, rookie ball, someone they call him, say you're going to Dayton. you know, and it's, he's obviously done something in his career. He's performed well enough to be successful enough and show potential enough to get that call up. And for me, it's just like, okay, I had a little part in that, you know, it feels good. You know, for me, I feel a little success off of that. I may not have done much with the guy. He might be raw talent, you know, like, you know, some guys that we had in Billings last year, just ultra talented, but I still did my part and I feel a little success in that. I mean, it, or, you know, and I guess the private sector when I'm working, you know, when I work with weight loss clients or, you know, whatever it may be, just people that don't feel good. And then they work out and then they call you like, I feel great. You know, I can move and I don't hurt. Like to me, that's success. Like they met what they wanted to do. And then I'm just happy that I could assist them in that, you know, and, you know, I just want to help, you know, people get to where they want to be. I mean, I've been through a ton the last 10 or so years and I'm getting to where I want to be and I'm never really there. But if I can help a player who I'm with in Daytona this year get to Double A, I mean, great. You know, that's awesome. Or, you know, and then 3 years later, they make the big leagues. 2 years later, you know, that's knowing you played a little part in that is gratifying.
Yeah, it sounds like the overarching theme is just helping people achieve what they want to achieve, whether that's in pro ball or in the private setting, like you said, with weight loss or getting stronger or whatever. Our role, and I feel the same way, is if you help somebody get to where they want to go and you play a small part in that, that's success. And it feels good for us. It feels good for them. And hopefully when they go to that next level, they take what you've taught them and they continue doing that to further their success, even without you being there.
Exactly. Exactly.
So what advice do you have for others in the field? Maybe specifically coaches who are kind of on the fence about getting into baseball, who might be in your position where, okay, I want to get in. I've talked to some people and now you've experienced it. What advice do you have for those, that specific group?
I mean, if someone's already, I mean, for me, it started a little in college, you know, wanting to get into, you know, that'd be a cool job. Looking into it, obviously you need some experience, you know, to get into pro baseball. It's competitive. There's always multiple applicants for every position. And, you know, for me, being an older, college graduate, quite a bit older than most of the people I was in school with, I knew I needed to start getting an experience starting with my internship in school. So I went to Arizona State, and I moved to Boston for my internship. 6 months unpaid, drove across the country, sold everything I owned before that, did a 6 month unpaid internship because I knew I needed the experience. Came back, took a job in Phoenix, kind of because that's where someone hired me. And then 4 months later, I moved to Wisconsin for another job. So constantly for anybody trying to just gain experience in learning, you know, different aspects of the strength and conditioning world. My thing would be not just get stuck in a role and, you know, just do your time continuing to learn different aspects of strength and conditioning. The management aspect of it, the developing a facility aspect. I mean, there's so many different aspects of it that just getting experience working with multiple people will then show, I think, you can work with baseball players. Don't get stuck in the fact that, like, I got to train baseball players to work in baseball. I think if you can just train anybody, then you can train baseball players. So that would be my biggest advice, is just continue getting experience and continue learning.
Yeah, honestly, that advice probably applies to anybody. If you want to get experience and learn from people, it's out there. You just kind of have to be willing to make the sacrifices. And moving across the country from Phoenix to Boston kind of speaks very, very highly of yourself. So kudos to you for doing that. I've always, like, people that have asked me, I try to tell them to get into an internship away from where they are, because they probably know a lot of people in the area they're in anyways. So for me, I'm from Buffalo. I went to grad school in Maryland, and I went down to Texas because I didn't know anybody in Texas. So I'm right there with you. There's a lot of value in good internships and good experience and getting away from being in your comfort zone. So that might apply specifically 100%. To people who want to get into pro ball, but honestly, it probably applies to anybody that's listening. So that's really good advice, man. Really, really good advice.
I mean, one thing I didn't touch on would be to, and I'll touch on a little bit in a few minutes here when we talk about continuing ed, but communication is key. I mentioned it earlier. I mean, learning how to communicate with people is the biggest, single most important thing, I believe, in getting into being successful, quote unquote, in strength and conditioning. If you can learn how to communicate with anybody, you can train anybody. And it's tough. I mean, I've seen people who I've been strength and conditioning, you know, done strength and conditioning with who they're shy and timid at first. And, you know, to me, I mean, you can't be shy and timid in a weight room. Especially certain athletes will eat you alive. If you are, so being able to just be outgoing enough, you know, you don't have to be crazy and obnoxious, but being able to go up to the random person that you don't know and talk to them and learn something about them will then in turn help you in training that person and others, and they'll get you out of your comfort zone and teach you much as you can through that.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. Your work hat doesn't always match, you know, your life hat, but you have to be able to talk to people in this field. And like when I was with the Pirates my first year, they challenged me to talk to 3 new people every day. And I didn't know anybody there, and I was kind of that, you know, the new guy that was a little timid, and they were like, go ahead, go talk to 3 people. And I did, and it changed the way I looked at my role of communicating and building those relationships. Because most of the guys that we work with are great guys, but like you said, they'll test you. If they sniff weakness, they will expose it. Yeah. And so sometimes you just gotta, you know, put the work hat on and just communicate as best you can and try to build relationships with guys. So 2 for 2 there. Really, really good advice on both of those.
Thank
you. So you mentioned continuing ed. Where are you going for continuing ed? Are you reading books, listening to podcasts, attending seminars, something else other than that, and maybe some examples of what you're digging into?
I mean, being with the Reds, we're lucky enough to have them assist us in getting continuing education seminars. The coaches conference, NSCA, which was just a couple weeks ago, is one that I've been to the last 2 years now. This off season was my first winter meetings with the Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, so that was definitely a very good learning and also networking experience. I try to keep my eyes open for other conferences, but working as much as we do, especially me being here working with rehab guys, helping out with them, you know, makes the time kind of limited. So if I can find a decent one, I'll try to go if it's close by. Other than that, I mean, I read quite a bit. I'm finishing my master's degree at the moment, but I try to read a book that I got put onto by my coordinator last year, Extreme Ownership, by Jocko Willink, is phenomenal read. I would suggest it to anybody. I'm almost finished with the book called Intangibles by Jeff Miller. So he's a baseball mental skills coach and discusses how that mental skills works in baseball as well as life. And then I just actually opened up On Combat by Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. And it's more of a mental book. And I think that's kind of where I like to read more leadership, mental skills, how to deal with things kind of book. Because I think that that's a lot of our job as strength coaches as well. When you're dealing with a guy and you got to understand how does he feel when he talks to you? What's he, you know, how is he acting? And I think that's an aspect that, you know, I can always improve on. And then as for other strength and conditioning reading, Dean Somerset, I enjoy his stuff. He puts out great stuff, especially on the hips. Eric Cressy, a guy in Canada, Lee Boyce. And then I also just try to read like hitting and pitching blogs occasionally to kind of see where they're at. you know, with their training and their ideas. And I've talked to a few hitting coaches and pitching coaches that I know, and, you know, just kind of see like, okay, well, if they're looking to do one thing, how can I help with that in the gym? And if I can help with that slightly, maybe it helps the guy on the mound and the pitching setting and actually whatever, then, you know, biomechanically I helped him, then he can do his other thing and maybe be successful.
Yeah, I know a lot of people kind of say stay in your lanes, and like, I know we're not baseball coaches or anything, but the value that you add when you just have a conversation with the pitching coach or the hitting coach, even just them trusting you in the sense of, you know, this guy really cares about our guys and he wants to help them, it goes a long way, yes. Man. I've talked to a couple other people on the podcast, and for instance, Bob Alejo, when I spoke with him, he was like, you have no idea how much value that brings to the table when you just talk to the baseball coaches and they see you as somebody who's on their team who wants to help their guys get better. So that's a good idea, man, reading those blogs like that.
Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, like you said, stay in your lane. Like, you know, we aren't baseball coaches, and all the players that we have are better than me at baseball, 100%. You know, no matter how bad they may be, you know, whatever, if you want to say that's probably a bad term, but it's okay. If they're not, you know, they're not a major leaguer, they're in a rookie ball, you know, they're still better than me. So I'm never going to tell a kid, hey, this is how you should swing, or this is how you should throw, or this is how you should whatever. But hey, I'll teach you how to run. So that way when you run the bases, you can run the bases more efficiently. Or hey, I'll teach you how to use your hips and separate your, you know, your hips and shoulders so you can throw a little, you know, throw a little hard, whatever it may be. That's where, you know, stay in your lane for sure. Don't teach someone how to pitch. But if you can keep them mobile or, you know, strong, then and it's going to help on the field, then you're doing your job.
Yeah, that's a big thing there. Our job is not necessarily to make them, you know, power lifters or to make them better baseball players through teaching baseball, but we can definitely add value to their lives and help them on the field in a lot of different ways. And so that's really good advice, man. So if you have time, I'd like to do a lightning round. I don't know if you got anything going on, but if you got a little time, let's do a lightning round.
Let's do it.
All right, cool. Four questions. First question, who is your biggest influence in the strength and conditioning field?
I'd have to say Eric Cressy.
Eric Cressy. And you worked under him, didn't you? Did you intern?
I did an internship.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that would, a lot of people have said Eric Cressy.
So that's kind of where I got my start.
Yeah. A lot of people have said Cressy because they've read him, but you've actually worked under him. So that's, you definitely got.
I interned with him spring of 2015 with his business, and I definitely, you know, I use some of that. What, you know, I mean, I come up with my own philosophies and stuff, but I definitely use quite a bit of his stuff and modify it for our needs now. So,
of course. Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah.
One piece of equipment to train with, what would it be?
Kettlebell.
Okay. Third one is biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally?
Well, probably professionally serving 5 years in the military, and personally, it'll be February 14th when I get my master's degree.
Awesome. Both very good. Thank you for your service also.
No problem.
Last one. Any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
I would be an NHL referee.
Really?
Really. I reffed when I was younger before I joined the military, and I loved it. I would do that in a heartbeat.
That's awesome. I have not had anything even close to that as an answer, so that is awesome, man. It's been a good time, good stuff here. If the listeners want to get in touch with you, where can we get more information from you? You on social media?
I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. My handle, I guess, is @Alex_Puskarich. It's the same for both Twitter and Instagram. I don't post much, but, you know, I try to respond if people do reach out to me, but I try to just kind of use it for info and to stay in touch with family. But I'm there if they want to reach out.
Perfect. Thanks, man. Well, I appreciate you taking some time out of your Sunday, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me.
Yep.
All right, everybody. That concludes our episode with Alex. I hope you enjoyed this one. He's got a lot of good information, especially for our listeners who are considering getting into baseball or who might have just gotten into baseball. Three things that I took from Alex: communication is key, success can be a broad term, and get experience in different areas. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.